Well, I've got some neat things planned that I want to share on. And I thought before we do that, we could give a few positive affirmations. You guys know if or if not you are what the Word of God says you are?
I am.
Let's try it. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do, and I have God's favor in my life. How about in Spanish? Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer, y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida.
Beautiful, absolutely. I hope you guys out there in phone land are getting the Spanish down. You should see the guys here every once in a while. You see their lips just go, but doesn't look like Spanish, but they're doing much better than they were 2 years ago. Okay. Well, it's a privilege to teach God's Word, and it's certainly wonderful to hear you make those kind of affirmations. You telling yourself the way it's going to be. Uh-huh. You know, there's no silliness in that. That's what Jesus did. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody got in His way, did they? Well, if you want to live that kind of life, you got to tell it like it is. There are behavioral laws in the epistles. I've been able to isolate six of them. And they're very interesting. You have the law of works. You have the law of faith. That would be believing. That's in Romans chapter 3, verse 27. Then you have the law of her husband, and that's for the wife. The wife is bound to that. That's in Romans 7, 2. Then you have the law of righteousness, and that's in Romans 9, 31. The law of Christ, that's in Galatians 6, 2. The law of liberty, that's in James chapter 1, verse 25. Now, I'd like you to go read those this week. And I want you to find the verbs in there that show that each one of those are a behavioral law. And I'll give you a hint. It says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, when you read that, you need to look at it and go, what kind of behavior am I supposed to have to do that? And I bet you'll figure it out. It has something to do with bear ye one another's burdens. These are behavioral laws. These are things that God has put in place because there already is a greater law put in place. The law that backs that up. So anytime you see that you're to follow a behavior, and when it's called a law, you know that there's already a spiritual law of that nature in place. For instance, in Galatians 6, 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, that's the only mention in the Bible of the law of Christ. It's not mentioned anywhere else. So you won't find it anywhere else. So you have to look at the whole verse to see what it's talking about, because that's where your answer is going to be. You go by the context. And when it says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, number one, you have to realize that there is a law of Christ in place that God established that allows you to bear one another's burdens. It's a behavior. And so what you find throughout the epistles are behavioral requests to Christians. And they're all based on laws. They're based on existing laws, existing spiritual laws. God wouldn't ask you to do something if there wasn't something in place that would allow it. And a perfect example of this is in finding peace. The Christians are supposed to be the purveyors of peace. The Christians are the ones who are to manifest peace. The Christian behavior is to be a peaceful behavior. This would never be possible without the greater law, that being peace, being in existence. Peace has to be in existence for the Christian to be peaceful. What you find when you look at laws like these, the existence has to be confirmed, and that would be by the Word. The Word says there's peace. And then the behavior has to follow. God never expects you to behave a certain way without the law in force in support of you doing that. He would never do that, because there would be no reason for it. There would be no way to implement it. For instance, the wife bound to the law of her husband. Well, that's interesting, but it would never be possible if there wasn't something like that already available. In other words, God established the truth that the husband was worthy to be bound to. Now, the husband is the one that has to go and love the wife like Christ loved the church. But he's got to do a whole lot more than that. He has to be worthy of that binding. And the wife has to give him credit for that. Because there's no man alive that's born ready and already prepared. He has to learn those things. The wife is required by God to subject herself to the law of the husband. In other words, the law of the husband is in the universe. The man is responsible to do his part, but the woman is not to question that, and she's supposed to do that. She's supposed to follow. And so, none of these things would be available if the law wasn't in place, if the person being request, or the requested person wasn't able, because the person has to be able to do it too. So you've got two sides of the coin. And always remember that. You've always got the spiritual side and the physical side. If the physical side's ever going to work, there has to be the spiritual side. If you ever try to do something of which there is no spiritual basis, it's not going to work. Well, now, you'd have to have a pretty far-out mind to figure up something like that. But let's just say that because you get to do what you get to do, there's things behind it that you might not see, but they're in place. Always. Always. Peace is no different. In other words, for peace to be in a Christian's life, it already has to be available. And you'll find that there are two sides to the Christian's walk. What God has made available through Christ, and what He expects you to do, your behavior. That's it. And He gives you the choice. You can do what He says, or you don't do what He says. But you're guaranteed trouble if you don't. Whereas you're guaranteed a wonderful, more than abundant, super conquering lifestyle if you do. And this brings up the ultimate conqueror. The ultimate conqueror in life through Christ, by way of Christ, in the stead of Christ, is peace. If there was one thing that you could do for you, for your friends, for your family, for your neighbors, for your city, for your state, for your country, for the world, it would be to bring peace. There is no greater gift. Christ made it available. Therefore, peace is the ultimate conqueror. We know that in Isaiah 9:6, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And this was a prophecy that the Prince of Peace was going to come. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 1, once Jesus Christ came as the Prince of Peace, He made available to us the way of peace. Luke chapter 1 verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You wouldn't know anything about it if there weren't words in the Word to follow. The spiritual side of peace is that it was made available because of the Prince of Peace. Introduction into the way of peace was then made known through the Word. So the law of peace exists. In other words, peace is a viable and completely real entity. It exists in its full force in the spiritual realm. And there's nothing man can do to remove that. Oh, certainly he can discount it by choosing the way of the world instead of the way of God or the way of peace, but he cannot remove it. It is an entity that exists for the survival of mankind. If peace did not exist, we would not exist. It wouldn't be available anymore. So Jesus Christ made available guidance into the way of peace. And this is what then will take those sitting in darkness and put them in light. And this is what will take those sitting in the very shadow of death and moving them into life. It's all about peace. Without peace, you have no life. And so thank God that the very entity of peace exists in the spiritual realm. Romans chapter 10. So the Prince of Peace guided our ways into the way of peace so that we could preach peace. Romans 10:15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Glad tidings of good things is always better than sad tidings of sad things. Yet people without peace are encumbered, burdened down, and overwhelmed with all vices of sadness. That is not the Christian way. God expects His Christians to exhibit a behavior of peace because peace exists. What is your life filled with? What do you believe and preach? Romans 16.
In the end, when all is said and done, our enemy will be destroyed by peace. Romans 16:20, and the God of peace shall bruise, and that means utterly crush, Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Peace is what shall utterly crush Satan under your feet shortly. Peace is the ultimate conqueror of worldly conflicts within your mind. Certainly, we'd like that peace to conquer the worldly conflicts outside of your mind, but that's a little outside of the scope of the responsibilities of the entity peace today. It's just a little beyond, but it's coming. But today, God expects you to manage your behavior so that you have peace, not conflict. Have you ever asked yourself, what is the opposite of peace? The opposite of peace is confusion. And confusion is disorder, instability, tumult, and confusion. Peace is order, stability, quietness, and calmness. I know what goes on in people's minds when they start thinking along this line. They start getting etherical. In other words, it's as if the subject of peace becomes mystical and has no tangibility. And then they say, well, how could I bring this in? How could I behave according to peace? How? You have to master the concept that there's two sides of this. One is that peace exists, so you do not have to create peace. You do not have to search it out and find peace. You do not have to take 10,000 mountaintop trips in hopes that you'll catch a glimpse of heaven and see peace sitting there. Peace exists. That's one side of the concept that you must master. The other side of the concept is that you must master your behavior and choose, instead of confusion, peace. Instead of disorder, order. Instead of instability, stability. Instead of tumult, quietness. And instead of commotion, calmness. Ultimately, peace is prosperity. When all is said and done, and if you were to put on the right side of the equal sign to match the left side of the equal sign, peace, you could very well supply prosperity. Peace equals prosperity. If you want peace, you have to work hard to maintain it. Ephesians chapter 4. But I want you to be clear that you don't have to create peace or find a source of peace. It's all within you, and it's because of the Prince of Peace and the creation of the entity of peace in the spiritual realm. Ephesians 4, verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Peace becomes a glue. And this glue is what holds us together. The unity of the Spirit. It brings a purpose. It brings a solidarity. You won't have that with confusion, tumult, instability.
you will have that with calmness. You will have that with peace. Everywhere you walk, you must walk in peace. Well, how do you know that people are walking in peace? I mean, that's a good question. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. You know that people are walking in peace when they're unified with God, with His Word, and with His people who are doing the same. That's how you know, because it's the bond of peace. The bond of peace is what glues the unity. And so you have to see unity if peace is alive. Otherwise, there's disparity. There's separation. Ephesians 6:15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is a whole shodding. The reason feet are used is because your feet carry you through life. And so your very footsteps are peaceful steps. And this is what prepares the way for people to receive the Prince of Peace and be guided into the way of peace so that they could preach the gospel of peace. And if this doesn't happen, the God of peace will not be in their lives. But I tell you what, people won't stop the God of peace utterly destroying Satan under your feet one day. Why? Because the entity of peace exists in the spiritual realm. It's been created. It does exist, and it's available for Christians today. Peace is your blanket of choice. Have you ever wanted to be comforted? Well, peace is your blanket of choice in a world of conflict. Every one of us deal with conflict. Oh, we want to act like we don't have it, but we do. I had a fun talk with my daughter, and it took a while to get her to admit this one little thing between she and I. But she finally had to agree it did exist, a little conflict. And I just told her, don't be afraid, we can deal with it. And the reason I bring that up is because we are all reluctant to admit conflict. We don't want to admit conflict. Rather, we want to pretend and show the world that everything's fine with us when it's not. And so it behooves us as Christians to adopt the behavior of peace. And in doing so, the behaviors of conflict will be revealed. In other words, exposed. In other words, why do you need peace if you don't have conflict? Well, God knows you need peace so that you could resolve your conflicts, which means you have them, which means admit them and move on by replacing those type of behaviors with peaceful behaviors. And you know that conflict genders undesirable behaviors. Everybody knows that. If you're angry and you're upset inside, you're going to show it, whether you like it or not. And if you say you're going to not show it, you're going to have it anyway because it's still there. Peace will keep the all of you intact. Well, in conflict, you're not intact. You're going 1,000 different directions. Your emotions, the instability, all the upsetness, the abuse that you bring to others. Peace will cover and carry you everywhere. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now the Lord of... Sorry. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 16. That might help if you know what verse. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. That tells you that, number one, the entity of peace or the availability of peace has been created. It's there. It's in the spiritual realm. It's not sitting beside you. It's in the spiritual realm. It's a whole other place of life. God's peace is always available. John chapter 14. The last thing you'd ever want is for life's troubles to sink down into your heart. Because then you've done what I call internalized a situation. You've internalized conflict. You've brought conflict within. You never want to do that. It's a childish behavior to internalize conflict. How do you avoid conflict internalization? You live a peaceful lifestyle. In other words, if conflict comes your way, you deal with it. Matter-of-factly, lovingly, but you don't internalize it, which means you don't do anything about it, which means you just hold it in. If you have a behavior where you hold things in and then you blow up finally because you didn't deal with it when you should have, you need to stop that behavior because it's contrary to God's will. God's called you to peace, the Bible says. That is a calling that very few of you know, but it is. You've been called to peace, which means you're supposed to live it. And so when and where you've internalized conflict, you've rejected that peace because you think that's a better way. You're maybe afraid to say something, or you're afraid of rejection or something like that, you know. But it's time to change that behavior. You need to stop being a child and start being a good grown-up Christian. And that means adopt a peaceful behavior. Most people have troubles because they let them sink into their hearts. And if you don't adopt a peaceful behavior that God asks you to do, you certainly will have troubles. And they will be coming from your heart. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Well, okay. I'll buy the fact that Jesus isn't here with me today. Well, he's sitting on the couch with me. But I'll also buy the fact that he's inside me. And so he says that peace has been left with us. It's already been given. It's been created. God saw to that, the God of peace. And it's been delivered. Jesus said that. Peace I leave with you. That's the spiritual side. Now what about the behavioral side? Now we must live it. We must access it. Do you have to go on a mountaintop to find it? No. You simply change your behavior. See, this is what people don't get. And this is so true with so many things in the Bible. Like, for instance, agape. Everybody wants to call agape love. And some people even want to say that when you're born again, that's when you get it. If you're not born again, you don't have agape. And those are lies. The truth of the matter is that agape can be manifested by anybody. And it's a behavior. There's 15 similar characteristics of agape. And these are behaviors that you adopt, that you choose to live. So peace is no exception to that rule. Now, there's also love. And many other things. But they're behaviors that you adopt. There's nothing mystical about this. I want you to remove the mysticism. There is no mysticism with this walk. It's so clear. But it's a behavioral thing. and it's based on creation. God created something and said, now here, do it. It's as simple as that. People say, well, how should I live my life as a Christian now? Well, base it on His creations. He created peace, so live peacefully. He created righteousness. He is righteousness. So live a righteous lifestyle, and so on and so forth. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Fear is the end result of troubles, stirring or agitations, you know, like water when it roils. You ever seen the waves hit the rocks and they're just going crazy? Anybody ever watch, what is it, the, not Treasure Island. No, not Lifetime, Lynn. What is the shipwreck show? They built the cool
Swiss Family Robinson,
and the storm, and you see the water. Everybody's seen that, I hope. If not, that's your assignment. But you see the water hit the rocks, and the ship break up, and all that roiling. That's what not having peace is. And that's what fear causes. Fear is the end result of these roilings. Peace is our ultimate super conqueror of fear. It's fully enabled to conquer all troubles. Well, that's just too simple, Jerry. You don't know my troubles. Oh my gosh, have you seen my list? You know, I started writing the list and it's like 5 pages long already. Whoa! You don't know what you're talking about, man. I mean, you got to understand. This roiling, I don't care if they did have a nice house on that island. It was a shipwreck. And my life is so shipwrecked, there's nothing that can help it. Well, I hate to tell you, partner, but peace takes care of that. Because peace is the ultimate conqueror. You have to accept certain things. In other words, you need to get off your high horse sometimes and start believing the Bible. Ye who think there's no end to your messes. There is an end. It's called peace. Yep, even those troubles that are deeply within, those ones that you've been fighting off for years now, peace takes care of those too. You know where it says that the Word of God is sharp and powerful, or quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword? Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. Yeah, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It gets right down to the quick. The Word of God does. Well, if God's Word can do that, can't you? If God's Word can actually get down there and fix things, can't you get down there too? And start to figure some of this stuff out instead of suffering so much? Maybe it's time to put an end to some of the stuff you go through that's self-induced. That's my point. So maybe if your troubles are 5 pages long, you're just not doing anything about them. Oh, maybe you think you are, but you're probably not doing it the Word's way, because otherwise they'd be gone. Because the entity of peace exists. And it's a perfect peace. Jesus gave His peace to us in a way that the world couldn't give it. His peace was given to us internally. We have it on the inside. Something that the world cannot control or even gain access to. That's the beauty of it. You just have to talk yourself into tapping into it. It's there. I'm not lying to you. Got the Prince of Peace. Got the God of Peace. We've got the way of peace. How much more do you need? Somebody to preach peace? Excuse me, but here I am. Well, I can't do what you got to do, though. His peace is our peace, and it's guarded by God's Spirit in us. Even though you have this peace, its enemy, fear, can counteract its effects. Oh, sure. And that's probably what they're doing if you're all roiled like the waves of the sea. On the other hand, Well, on the one hand, you have peace. Okay? Just sitting there, nice, fat, dumb, and happy. And on the other one, you have fear. It's got teeth. It's nasty. You got peace, and you've got fear. There's a dichotomy. And you're right in the middle of it all. Which one are you going to feed? You remember the story about the wolves? The grandson said, well, which one is going to survive? Because the wolves are in us, you know, the good one and the bad one. And the grandfather said, whichever one you feed. Which one are you going to feed? People don't want to accept the truth that they can control their behavior. We live in such an immobilized society. Our kids are all taught that everybody's the same and nobody's different. And that's a lie. You have the right to be different. You have the right to choose your behaviors. And don't you think for a minute that you don't. Now, you might be too lazy to choose your behavior. That's your problem. But I'd say you ought to do something about it. Because God wants you to live a peaceful lifestyle. Maybe it's time to stop whining so much. Maybe it's time to stop belly aching so much about all kinds of crazy stuff, admitting that you're just letting your conflicts get the best of you, and instead adopt a peaceful lifestyle. Order, stability, quietness, calmness. Why not? What's wrong with that? Nothing. Your internal conflicts always have these two. Peace and fear vying for position. And you know it. Gosh, you've lived with yourself for how long now? You know, sometimes you have glimpses of peace and other times fear is just taking root. You know, and it's back and forth, back and forth. But you're the one that decides the outcome because you're the one that feeds them. The more you think about fear, the more you feed it. The more you think about peace, the more you feed it. It's that simple. It doesn't get much simpler than that. God made it so that we could figure it out. So it's got to be simple, right? Just kidding. Well, not really. But these two are vying for position, for supremacy, for control. They're both control freaks. But the peace one is peaceful about it. Not the fear one, though. There's all that roiling, all those troubles with it. But only you can decide the outcome. Philippians 4, verse 7. The realities of peace. Philippians 4, 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's a law. It's already in place. You don't have to go create it. You just have to behave it. There's no creation here. You don't have to figure anything out. You just have to accept it and just live that way. Okay? You don't have to pray that it comes in. You have to pray that you find it one day. Oh, come on. It's all about behavior. Folks, we get so lazy, and you know I'm right. We get so lazy. We don't want to change and do things God's way. Oh, we want to pretend to others that we do that. Like, for instance, in all your troubles, when somebody comes along, all you do is smile. But inside, you're just dying because the troubles are roiling. And you're so afraid of this and that. Only you can decide what's going to happen there. You're the one feeding the bad one. Stop feeding it. Quit thinking it. Behave. Ah, behave. I did an Artios on that one time. I thought that was funny. Peace can and will conquer all things within your understanding. Passeth all understanding. Including all your troubles. It will. It's the blanket over conflict. It just warms them all up and gets rid of them. But you have to allow it to happen. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I'm not making this up, guys. I love you, but doggone it. If you're not a peaceful person, and you know if you're not, don't make anybody tell you. Get off of that one right away. Because then you're just burdening people. You know, if you're not a peaceful person, and you're just being a royal pain in the you-know-what to other people, don't you think it's time to stop? Oh, please. God thinks it's time to stop because he says, let the peace of God rule. That's another way to say stop the other. Okay? It's an interesting way to say it, but it means that. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You must allow God's peace to rule in your hearts. Oh, I know you're not going to want to. I know you got a hankering for instability because you've been feeding it for so long. But it's time for it to go. Bring stability in. Oh, I know you like tumult, but I'm saying maybe it's time to be a little quiet. Okay? You have to change. Let it rule. See, a lot of people look at this as a mystical verse. Let the peace of God rule. Oh, God, when will you finally do it in me? That's what they think. What? When will you finally do it in me? Oh, God, when will you finally let peace rule in me? I know your Bible says it, and I know it's got to be available. Gosh, but when are you going to do it? God's just looking back at you and saying, let it rule, baby. You get on the stick. It's not me anymore. I've seen marriages destroyed because of this. I've seen friendships run aground because of this. Work relationships. Because the people do not accept their own responsibilities. Wife, if you're a roiler, stop it. Husband, if you're unstable, then you need to bring in stability. It's that simple. And if you don't know how to do it, get some help. Quit admitting that you, or quit saying that you don't need any help. Gosh, every one of y'all can look within yourselves and answer the question, am I causing trouble in somebody else's life? Wife, are you causing trouble in your husband's life? Husband, are you causing trouble in your wife's life? Children, are you causing trouble in somebody's life? Everybody can answer that question, can they not? Am I being exceptional here? I don't think so. But you know something? I've seen so much fear in believers' lives as of late. Well, it just doesn't make sense. It shouldn't be. We should be so peaceful. And we should be fighting for that. Fighting for peace. Wow. Now, that isn't a crazy analogy. Let the peace of God rule. So you must decide to allow it to rule. You must decide to be thankful. Oh, sure. Peace and thankfulness go hand in hand. Well, heck, if you went and gave the world its peace, and it's always talking about it, it's not going to have it. But if you go give it its peace, don't you think it would be thankful? I think it would. That's like the big one. What about if you give you peace? It's available. Unlike the world, it is available to you. Well, don't you think you'd be thankful? Well, sure. What if all your conflicts ended? What if all your troubles ended? What if all your tumults ended? What if all your instability ended? What if it was just gone? Huh? Maybe you can't even think like that right now. Maybe you can. But what if it was gone? Wouldn't you be thankful? Well, sure. Well, it's time for you to do something about it then. So many of us just want to lay down and die. But we can't do that. I don't want to lay down and die. Don't even think that. There have been times in my life though where I have. That's not a good thing. So on the one hand, you have God's peace and thankfulness. And on the other, you have troubles and selfishness. You're right in the middle. No thankfulness on one side, thankfulness on the other. Which one is your personality? If you ever want to grow up and out of childish, emotional ways, and truly living a troubled life of instability, tumult, and all those kind of crazinesses, is very childish. You don't need to be like that. And God doesn't want His people to be like that. I don't want to be like that. Sure, sometimes I get like that. But not often. And if I do, I'll probably repress it. Because I don't want to be like that. You know, on the up and up, I'm pretty stable guy. Pretty calm guy. But I do get riled. I get riled when I see God's word not being lived. But you got to follow four things if you really want to be right about this. 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you want to grow up and out of your childish emotional ways and finally become a behavior of peace, 2 Timothy 2:22 speaks very loudly to you. Flee also youthful lust. Yes, the word lust means passions, over desires, just things. But it says, stop doing all the youthful stuff, the things of a child. Now, children are going to do this, so you got to give them a little room. But eventually, they got to grow up. Not you, though. If you're an adult, you're long overdue. If you're not doing these things. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You are asked to follow four things. If you want to grow up and out of your childish emotional ways, you follow righteousness, believing, agape, and peace. Well, what are you following after today? Do you follow after unrighteous things? Are you fearful? Are you stingy? Not giving to the outreach of God's word? And honestly, some of you guys could get a little bit better at it. Not for my sake. I just read why. Are you full of troubles? Or do you follow these four mighty desires with true and unbiased passion and a pure heart? That's what it takes. So we're talking about behavior. True and simple. Are you willing to address your behavior? I'll be honest with you folks. I'm not going to lie. Most people don't want to do this. Okay? And if you don't want to do it, that's fine. Live with yourself. I won't. But that's fine. If that's the way you want to be. I'm going to love you either way. But we're not going to have a really good relationship because I know that you're going to be faking it with me. I know that you're not going to be real. I don't want to be around unreal people. I'll be real honest about that. I just would rather be around people who are truthful and honest. I don't want to see a smile with troubles. I want to see honesty. And I want to see people who want to change, who understand that they are dealing with stuff inside. And that's okay. But you better be doing something about it. You don't just let it stay inside. You got to change your behavior so that you become stable. So that you become calm. So that you become quiet. That's what you have to do. That's all God asks. Because it's already available. It's been created. You just do it. Jesus left it with you. He said that. So now it's inside of you. So now you do it. You live it. You walk according to that rule. That's what it takes. So are you willing to address your behavior? If you are a troubled person, and I know that all of us have troubles at some time, and some of us more so than others, especially today, it's just there. Wives, you look at yourself. Husbands, you look at yourself. Kids, I want everybody to look at themselves. Everybody. If you have troubles, isn't it about time to change your way? Are you letting that old child in you have its way? Bible says flee youthful lust. Flee them. I don't know if you know what speed is, but I'd put a whole lot on it. Flee. Are you willing to allow the laws of peace and prosperity to rule over you? Are you willing to embrace these laws, or do you reject them with all force? What behavior do you choose? Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And I'd like to close with this and show you one of the greatest lessons that I found in the Word on how to live as a super Christian conqueror with peace. And you can turn to this time and time again to invigorate you, to refresh you along these lines. It will remind you of where you've been. It will show you where you want to go. And you'll be able to see where you are. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, the feeble knees. And if these don't speak to most people today. Oh, I know. You know, the good guy out there always wants to act like there's nothing wrong. But inside, his hands are hanging down, his shoulders are slumped, and his knees are feeble. And make straight paths for your feet. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Most people aren't willing to make a straight path. That means a beeline for the source. That means go for the gold. That means do what the Word says. That means make it happen in your life by changing your behavior. And make straight paths for your feet. The ones that are shod with the gospel of peace. They take you there in preparation so that you can get it. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. You know, if you wait too long, you probably are going to be turned out of the way. Not by anybody, just by you. Because everybody decides their own behavior. But God says, but let it rather be healed. And if you're going to do that, you better get your beeline moving. Your beeline. Zoom. Right to it. Follow peace with all and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow it. Oh, that means you got there. Make straight paths for your feet. Once you get there, follow it. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Pay attention. You can help others. Preach the gospel of peace. You can. You can help others. Looking diligently for yourself and others, but especially for you, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. On the one hand, you've got God's peace. On the other hand, the devil's bitterness. And boy, if that isn't where anger and rage ultimately dump you. You want to give one word for troubles? On the other side of that equal sign, put bitterness. You get this nasty stuff inside. On one hand, you've got a great life. And on the other hand, trouble, pure and simple. Yuck. And you guys can't deny this. Y'all know this stuff. You see it in your lives. Either one, you see them. If you follow Satan's agenda, you will not only be troubled, but you will trouble many others, and thereby many be defiled. And this is why I call to the wife and I say, stop troubling your husband. And this is why I call to the husband and say, you lead your wife. And this is why I call to the kids and say, stop troubling those around you, because you're learning how to live a very bad life if you do that. In other words, stop it and start living the good life. This is a call because we've all been called to peace. You should find that verse. That's another homework assignment. You go in the Bible and you find where it says we've been called to peace. Can I ask you a question? I mentioned this a little bit already. I'm going to say something more about it. Do you trouble others? Do you bring trouble into another person's life knowingly and wittingly? You must think about this deeply. Because you're not allowed to bring trouble. But do you? By whatever you think, by however you feel, by whatever you do, do you bring trouble into another person's life? Wife, do you? Husband, do you? Child, do you? I'd like to ask you another question. Why would you want to trouble somebody else? Why? What's your point? You didn't get what you think you deserve? Oh, you believe what they teach in school, that everybody's the same now. You can't have somebody win and somebody lose. Everybody has to win. That's a load of garbage, folks. There are winners and there are losers. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I bet you most of you have a hard time with me saying that. But there's nothing wrong with it. In the end, Christians win. In the end, Satan loses. So with the schools teaching everybody's the same, they are at opposition to God. They are protagonists. And so you need to accept that it's okay to have winners and losers. But why would you choose to trouble someone else? Why? What's your purpose? Do you think that you just haven't been given what you need? I see a lot of relationships ruined by this kind of thing. Where when somebody thinks they're not getting what they deserve, they just get all prim and prissy and leave. Now, that's just childish. There's no talking in that. There's no stability in that. So there's no peace in that. There's no gentleness in that. There's no quietness in that. Something's wrong. Ah, but they don't want to admit that, do they? Have you ever had to go talk with somebody that had a problem like this? Boy, they could do no wrong, but the other person's just as evil as the devil incarnate. But that doesn't make them right. It just shows their childishness. Why is your way the only right way every time you trouble that other person? Why is your way the only right way? Do you think you have a right to trouble somebody? God says that you're supposed to behave peacefully. And that means putting the childish stuff behind. Yeah, but I'm 50, 70, 30 years old. I have the right to be like that. I've earned my right. And after all, Jerry, you don't know what they did. You don't know my situation. And if you were in my situation, you'd do exactly the same thing. Wrong. Because I don't believe in that kind of retribution. I believe that we're supposed to live a peaceful life. Because we've been called to peace. Because of the Prince of Peace. Because of the way of peace. Because of the God of peace. Because of the preaching of the gospel of peace. That's what I believe. So wrong. Now, people don't want to change. I know that. And when you address a behavior, which is basically the majority of Christian living, because everything else has already been given to you. God created righteousness. God created peace. God created everything He's given to you. There's no creation you have to do. And then He created the Holy Spirit in you. So you're completely taken care of. Now you've got to change your behavior. Ah, but that's where it all breaks down. Well, my question is, why do you resist the truth so adamantly? Isn't that a good question? I think so. Why would a person resist the truth so adamantly? Is trouble so wonderful that you want another to share in it? Hey, every one of us are powerful people. And every one of us definitely affect other people's lives. Why would you want to use this to Satan's advantage? When and where you choose the way of conflict, you're giving Satan an advantage. It would be a very simple act to stop troubling others, rather to bring them peace. Why won't you do this? So this is not a light matter, folks, but this is a serious need in our body of believers. I've seen it more than enough times to know that it is. If you are so lazy that you will not follow peace, you are giving Satan access into God's camp. God's will for us is to have a trouble-free life. And that is available, but you have to manage it by choosing which one of those wolves, peace or fear, that you're going to feed. the devil's will for us is to be so filled with trouble that we no longer want to live. And if you ask yourself how many times in the last month you've come to that point, this ought to wake you up. And your lack of desire to live a full, more than abundant life will negatively affect many other people. Hey, I can understand elderly people wanting to throw in the towel. Almost. Okay? But for the life of me, I can't understand a young person wanting to do the same. I just can't get it. Folks, it's time to stop in this folly of bringing trouble to ourselves and others. Decide that you will change your behavior today and forever. Repair the breaches that you have caused with your anger, your fear, and so forth. And there's some you're not going to be able to repair. Admit those things. Recognize them and move on. But there's some you can. Give forth love with true believing, righteousness, agape, and peace. Those are the four. That's how you get rid of the child in you, that youthful thing. It starts with you. What are you going to do? It's time to stop the troubles and start a life of prosperity and peace. Thank you.